Right, so I'm going to ask you to begin with just for a little bit of feedback. Actually, can we have lights up just down there, just for the moment, and then turn them off because they are a bit intimidating? Okay, that's good enough. Okay, right, so what I'm going to ask is, can I ask you, when I give you the topic of tonight, could you just give me feedback via your face, how you feel about the topic, okay? So you're going to have to be honest with your feedback, please. Sarah's already like... So honest with your feedback and keep it for a few seconds so that I can take register and then, okay, so you ready? Okay, I don't want to look at Dan. So tonight I'm going to be talking about, I think it's right to talk about, love. Okay. Okay, all right, so, okay, yeah, okay, that's pretty much what I expected, okay? I've got to admit, I expected Sarah to look like this. But actually, that was Toby's face. But yes, I saw a few faces that were kind of like, because I understand, you know a lot about love. To be honest, when I was trying, racking my brains, desperately praying, what should I speak on tonight? When I felt God kind of say love, I was like, come on, we do that all the time. Not again, but here we are. So yes, I understand that face. There were some faces down here. Well, Toby's face was... Yes, because love, it is a beautiful thing, isn't it? Yes, we all know love is a beautiful thing. But the best ones were the faces down here that were like... Which, again, I totally understand. When I was probably a teenager, probably more this side than that side, I definitely... If somebody said they were going to talk about love, like, I would start getting red immediately, just so embarrassed at the thought of this. Because, you know, the only experience I have of love at the time was either, you know, love of your family, and you don't want to talk about it. You love your family, but you don't want to talk about it, do you? You don't want to think about the fact that you love your mum and dad, because that's just weird. Or you have that kind of that love feeling, or you think about love as that fluttery feeling you get when you see that certain person. James knows what I'm talking about. You know, that that fluttery feeling. And you definitely do not want to talk about that. So I can understand that reaction to love. But tonight, I want you to put aside all those preconceived notions you have of love. Okay, all those thoughts of, like, romantic comedies. Ugh, romantic comedies. Anyway, I want you to put that kind of stupid, fluttery, fluffy kind of thought of love aside. And tonight, I want you to rethink of love. I want you to think of love as this incredibly powerful force, as this dynamic universe shaping and changing thing, as something not weak and namby-pamby, something so strong and insane and reckless. I want you to think of it like that and be, yeah, and want to learn about that love, because that's the love I want to talk about tonight, because that is the love that God has for us. And this is where I was like, oh, come on, God, really, again? Why do I have to say this again? But we can come to church for, like, all our life and still not fully understand how much God loves us. And tonight I really didn't want to do this, but I really felt it was right to talk about God's love for us and just how insane it is, how much he loves us. And so I went through the Bible and was trying to think of what verse I could pick out. And yeah, you go John 3:16 and you go all these verses of love. And then I just started looking and thinking, actually, do you know what? I could start at the very beginning. At the very beginning, before anything was made, we were made out of love. Love seems to be the dynamic driving force for everything that God does. In creation, he creates because he loves. You know, there he was, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, kind of living in a perfect community, perfectly loving each other and living together and in just perfect love together. And then out of that love, God creates the universe. He creates all the stars. And I know I've said this before because I love stars and things. But out of all of creation, all the wonderful things he makes, he chooses one thing to lavish his love upon. And that's us. Me and you. Out of everything. I don't know, but I think I'd love stars more. They're awesome. They're big. They're huge. They're powerful. But he didn't. He chose to love us. And so we're born out of love, and the universe is created out of love. So right at the very beginning, we have love, and God is motivated by love to create us. But then we look through the rest of the Bible, and it's there every step of the way. You know, I used to think, when I was down here, kind of when I was your age, guys, I kind of thought that God of the New Testament was all about love, and the God of the Old Testament was all about smiting and judgment. And my favourite story in Judges, where one of the judges sticks a sword in a fat man. You know, that is what I had a picture of the Judges 3:16, everyone, just saying. it's just, you know, that was the view I had of the Old Testament. Judgment, God, angry. But actually, the more I looked at it as I've grown up, the more I've seen that actually all that stuff in the Old Testament, all the stabbing and all the death and all the punishment was actually all because of God's love. You know, he punished Israel because he loved them the same way your parents punish you, not because they're annoying. Well, they might be, but because they love you. And the same way your parents punish you, in the same way, I've got to be honest, sometimes Joff tells me off. Because I imagine because he loves me. I'm hoping that's what it is, and he's just not annoyed. But, you know, it's because of love that God punishes, that God disciplines. That's what it is, discipline. And it's because of his love that he does that, because he loves his people so much. And then he gives them rules. And you might think, Genevieve, rules suck. Yeah, there you go. Perfect. Are you still alive? Good. No, okay. You know, we think, oh, rules. Why would God give us rules? Surely if he wants us to be happy, surely if he loves us, he would just let us live the way we want to live. But actually, God says, I love you so much that I don't want you to live the way you want to live, because that's rubbish. I want you to live the best way possible. I want you to live lives that are blessed and are a blessing to others, where you're safe and healthy. And so God gives the people the law because he loves them. And then we get to the New Testament and we see just the biggest picture of God's love, where he gives up paradise to become one of us, to join in, to become part of his own creation. And I was trying to think about this. I think we skip over this incarnation thing so often and go to the cross. But the incarnation is incredible. Okay, so for a moment, I'm going to give you permission to close your eyes, as long as you don't fall asleep, please. Okay, so you can close your eyes for a moment. I want you to imagine paradise. Okay, what is paradise to you? For me, it's like a pristine beach in like Australia, with like beautiful blue water and like beautiful clear sky, and there's not very many other people around, and it's just warm and sunny and there's no care in the world. It's just paradise. Now I want to imagine that somebody comes up to you and says, in order for everyone else to enjoy this paradise, you've got to go and live in Portsmouth. I wish Tom was still here. You just imagine, you know, God, Jesus was living in paradise, living in perfection, where nothing can go wrong, where there's no disease and no death, and he gives that up to live here. That stinks. That's incredible, that sacrifice. You know, we sang just a minute ago, I never know how much it cost. I never know how much it would cost to go from paradise to this. But he does so because he loves us with this ridiculous love. And then he lives a perfect life, and then he dies on a cross. I don't want to go too much into it because we all know I won't make it through that. But he dies on this cross in abject pain, in just so much pain, not just physical pain, but you've got to imagine this. I know I'm going to look at Dan for this just to check this is right, but as far as I can understand, is that this is the only moment in eternity where God the Father is separated from God the Son. Can you imagine Jesus in his whole existence, before he became a human being, in the whole entirety of the existence of God, which we believe is eternal, he's never been separated from God the Father. And yet on the cross, he chooses that separation. How painful must that have been for him? But he chooses it. And he does it for us. You know, God, Jesus chooses the cross for us so that we might know God again. And what's mind-blowing about God's love in this point, what is just ridiculous and insane and just nuts, is that it's a choice. You know, Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, he just before he goes to the cross, he knows exactly what's going to happen. And with a word, he can just end it, can just not go there. And yet he chooses to love us enough to go to the cross. He chooses to love us. And this is what I want to get across to us about love, is it's not this fluttery feeling. It's this choice. It's a dynamic, powerful force, and it's a choice. And every day God chooses to love us. Before you were born, God chose to love you. Yesterday, God chose to love you. You know what? In the moment where you are doing the worst thing imaginable, when you are lying, when you are cheating, when you're doing whatever you do, I want to know. In that moment, God still chooses to love you. It's just mental. The question is, well, no, actually, I'm not going to get to the question yet. I want to have a little look back, because you know what? All the way through the Bible, as we see God's actions, I reckon if you gave me any action of God throughout the Bible, I can show you. We can work out together how that action is motivated by his love for us. Everything he does is motivated by his love for us. But what I want to ask is, you know, if God... Oh, I've got myself confused. Darn it. I'll come back to that. God chooses to love us. And I want to ask, I want to give you a question. I did want to give you a question at that point. Have you chosen to love him? He chooses every day to love you, but have you chosen to love him? The thing is, his love for you is not dependent on your love for him. And that is awesome. You know, you can sit there and say, I don't love God. And he still says, oh, but I love you. You can say, I don't believe in God. And he still says, ah, but I love you. You know, there's our actions, our love for God is not dependent upon his love is not dependent on our love. It's just mental. And this was something I felt I had to share tonight, because this was something that God really hit me with at Soul Survivor. Is I just felt this moment when we were at Soul Survivor, we were sort of stood there worshipping, and I felt God clearly say to me that he loves me, which you might think, well, yeah, good, that's nice. But actually what hit me was he loves me regardless of what I do. No matter how much I serve him here, no matter how much I do these things, no matter how much I do all sorts of church stuff, he loves me despite that stuff, not because of it. He loves me as much now as he did before I did anything for him. He loves me before and above everything else. And there's nothing I can do that can stop him from loving me. It's just crazy. And so often, I think I get it the wrong way around, that I so often try and earn God's love. I don't know if you've ever done that, ever tried to be in there, or you think, or even get to the point where you think you can't, God can't love you because you haven't done anything to earn it. And so often that I get it completely the wrong way around, and I feel like the fact that I'm here all the time and doing all these things and turning up to youth groups and doing all that stuff, that God, I do that because I want God to love me more, but actually he loves me just as much. You know, I want to give you an insight into ministers' meetings for a moment, okay? I know, Toby's not going to be happy about this. I come off worse, don't worry. So what happens in our ministers' meetings, all right? You want to imagine Joff's office, okay? I sit over by the window because I don't like people looking over my shoulder. So I sit by the window, and then Toby sat by the door, Joff's over by his desk, Linda's over there, okay? And then what happens is invariably the meetings generally, most of the time they end up like this, okay? Toby is sat there excited about everything. Okay, he's like a puppy, just kind of like ready to do anything. And then Joff is over in the other corner, and he is about 5 steps ahead of the rest of us. Okay, strategically thinking about the next few months and invariably moaning about Toby's diary and him not keeping up to date. Then you've got Linda over in the corner, who has got a list of all the people to care for. He's just like brimming over with love for people. And then you've got me in the corner, grumpy. And usually a bit miffed off that people aren't doing as much as I'd like them to do in church. And, you know, every time we have that discussion, every time I say that, Linda is so wonderful, because she's sort of like, people are busy. They have lives. They have things and people they have to see. And she's just so full of love. It's wonderful. But I'm sat there and I'm getting miffed off because I'm seeing serving God as a duty. I'm seeing it as something we have to do, when actually I'm completely wrong. I'm completely wrong. The fact is that we are meant to serve God. We want to do what God wants us to do, not because we're bound to, not because it will make him love us more, but because we love him. Because he first loved us. 1 John 4, one of the verses, says, we love God because he first loved us. And so we do things for him. We do things for him because we want to do things for him. Not because we're bound to do them. Not because we have to do them. Not because it will make him love us more. But because we love him. And every action... Every action that God does throughout the Bible, I believe, is motivated by love. Every action of his shows his love for us. But how many of our actions show our love for him? How many of our actions show our love for him? I'm not saying we do it out of duty, but you know, even thing, you know, turning up here out of sense of duty is not showing my love for God. It's showing my feelings of guilt and inadequacy and desperate need to be loved by God. How often do our actions actually show that we love God? Or how often do we put things in front of him? How often do we put something between us and God, whether it's our own self-importance, whether it's, you know, something, one of our hobbies? How often do we put one of our hobbies in front of God? Every action of his is based on his love for us, but how often do we put him in second place rather than first place? How often do we let sin creep in and get in the way of us and God? I want to ask you those questions, but I want to bring you back to the fact that no matter how many things stand between you and God this evening, however many sins, however many hobbies, however many preferences, you know, it was great Dan did Would You Rather. I mean, it's an incredible move of the Holy Spirit in the sense that, you know, what would you rather? Would you rather go to church to a poll service, or would you rather sit at home on TV? You know, that's precisely what we're asking. That's precisely the thing tonight. Where does our love for God go? Does it lead us to rather be at church or rather be somewhere else? How often do we put TV in front of God? But anyway, coming back, whatever is between us and God tonight, nothing in that space can actually separate us from his love. Nothing. I want to show us a video that I imagine a lot of you have seen before. It's incredibly powerful. I just wanted to show it again. We felt it was right to show it again. And then afterwards, we're going to have a little bit of a response. So, yeah, let's just have a watch.